I recall 28 or so years ago, I was walking down the hallway of the Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. My pastor stepped out of his office, Brother Sizemore. He said, "Jack, aren't you leaving for college this week?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "May I show you something?" Now, my pastor was an introvert. He rarely ever mixed and mingled. Hardly anybody ever had a conference with him. He was a very quiet, timid kind of a fella personally. I know he had never done this before to me. He took me in his office. He said, "Jack, let me show you something." He opened his Bible to chapter 33 of Jeremiah and to verse 3. He said, "Jack, look at this. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Now he said, "Jack, you can go through college on that if you want to. You can go through college on that if you want to." I've said this so many times, and I'll say it so many times again, for if anything I want our people to learn, it's what I've done often in my little silent sermon. I do it often because I want our new Christians to find the secret to the Christian life. I've said so many times, I can show you without a single word being spoken the secret of the Christian life. And I'll do it again this morning if you watch carefully. There are two secrets. There are two answers to the Christian life. And here they are. That's it. When a Christian learns how to get things from God, and then he learns not to keep them, but to give them away, he's learned the secrets to the Christian life. Many folks would get things from God if they would let go of what they have. Many folks would give if they knew how to get things from God. There are many people who know how to pray, but do not know what to do with what they get. There are many people who would give, but they do not know how to pray. I learned years ago, and I mean this, I'm no great preacher, but I thank God if there's one little secret to my little ministry, this is it. I learned years ago two things. I learned how to get, and thank God, I learned how to give. One of the great proofs of God is answered prayer. Brother Bordway is a skinny fellow. His wife eats everything at the house. He's a skinny fellow. Suppose that he walked over to this door this morning, knocked on the door, and walked back with a T-bone steak, 16-ounce T-bone steak, sizzling. He ate it, he walked back over to the door, knocked on the door, walked back with a new suit of clothes. Not the kind he wore Easter Sunday, but a decent suit. A new suit of clothes. He walked back over, knocked on the door. He walked back with $1,000. I started to say $1,000 bill. I don't even know if there is such a thing or not. He walks over, knocks on the door again. He comes back with the title to a new Cadillac. I'd say, "Ray, let me ask you a question. Who's back there?" And he said, "Preacher, there's somebody back there that will give you anything you want. Anything in the world you want. All you got to do is go knock on that door." You know where I'd go? Huh? I'd be the fourth in line, wouldn't I, fellas? Knocking on that door. And Sully would grow another arm so he could carry more. You know, there's one thing I would assume, that there's somebody behind that door. I dare you, I dare you to hang around those of us who know how to pray for a while without finding out there's somebody behind that door. It's also true, however, that God not only answers our prayers, but He gives us, the Bible says, exceeding abundantly of all that we ask or even think to ask. In other words, you say, Lord, could I have a new Chevrolet? Suppose Ray went over there this morning, say, new Chevrolet! And he came back with a title to a Cadillac. Walked over and said, could I have some ground round? He comes back with a filet mignon. Walks over and says, could I have some ice cream? He comes back with a banana split. I'd say, there's somebody back there that does even more than you ask for. That's exactly what the Lord is saying here. He said He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ever ask or think. I was reading this verse this week in a hotel in Pennsylvania, in Meadsville, Pennsylvania. And I got to praising the Lord. And I got thinking. They used to tell me when I was a little poor little kid, it's wonderful, boy, hey, fellow on the end of the road, we're talking. They used to tell me when I was a little kid, they said, it's wonderful to be saved. Believe me, brother, it's exceeding abundantly more wonderful than they ever said. This morning we say to you unsaved people, be great for you to know your sins are forgiven. You'd find peace and joy that passeth all understanding. We can't describe it to you. That's one reason the Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven and he saw things he couldn't even utter. You know why? Because what he saw was exceeding abundantly above any description he could put on it. They said it was wonderful to give everything to God. They used to say to me when I was a young man, give it all to God. You will not know real joy when you give everything to God. Let me tell you this morning, it's exceeding abundantly greater than that. They used to say it was wonderful to be a soul winner. It's exceeding abundantly greater than wonderful. They used to say it was exceedingly wonderful to preach the gospel, to be a preacher, or it's wonderful. It's exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. They say it's wonderful to belong to a good church. Let me tell you something. You folks that don't have a good church, you folks that go to some starchy, high church, ritualistic kind of a dead situation where the blessing of God never falls and the power of God never falls, we say, boy, it'd be wonderful if you get in a situation like this where born-again people come and sing from the heart. We don't put on any kind of a show on Sunday morning. These people mean what they sing. Every once in a while somebody says their choir wear robes. I'm not against choir robes. I personally don't like them, but I don't think they're sinful. A little dumb, but not sinful. And but somebody said, we have to wear robes in our church because to cover up the short skirts of our ladies. If we have ladies like that, we kick them out of the choir. You see? Fellow said, we have to wear robes in our church to cover up the low neck dresses. We just get a blanket and cover them up. I'm saying that this is the fellowship of this church is not coming on Sunday morning to try to impress God and say, God, look how stately we can be. No, sir. It's a bunch of Christians who love God and love each other, who found here the happiest fellowship in all the world. It's exceeding abundantly above anything we ever dreamed it could be. There are people in this church who came the first time. They didn't like it. So you're not the first person that felt that way. And they didn't like it. They didn't like me. Can you feature that? Yes, you can feature that. But they didn't like me. But, you know, it wasn't long. They got saved. They came to the church, and now they love me, and they love the church. And why? It's exceeding abundantly. God does that. Does it that way. Don't you recall when the Israelites came and said, Lord, would you give us Jericho? And they prayed that the walls of Jericho would fall down. But God did exceeding abundantly above that. They fell down flat all the way to the ground. Moses said, Lord, would you part the Red Sea? The Lord did more than that. He not only parted it so they could walk over, He made the ground dry so they wouldn't get stuck in the mud as they walked over. Exceeding abundantly. And that's the way the Christian life is. You folks this morning are here, you've never been saved. You say, boy, it looks so dead and so dull. Your book is black and doesn't have any pictures, especially pictures of naked women in them.
isn't it?
Thank God. And yours shouldn't have either. But the book is dark, and it's no pictures, and the building doesn't have any neon lights outside, and it looks so dead. And you got to come and give a tenth of your income, and sometimes a crazy fool asks you for 2/10 of your income. But I was a fellow in Texas. I asked him if he'd give a tenth. He said, "I got 2/5 out in the car. I'll give." But sometimes a guy asks you for 2/10 of your income. A money grabbing preacher. All he's after is money. That's all he wants is money. That's right. I want money to take care of these poor, educable, slow people back here. I want money to take care of feeding the poor fellows that come in our rescue mission. You're right. I want money so I can get the gospel out. But if you think I want money for myself, you're either a big liar or you don't know the situation around here concerning Jack Hiles. But I'm simply saying that you say, "That's enough." Let me tell you something. If you just come to Christ and say, "Oh, God, I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for sinners, and I give my heart and life to Jesus," not only would you be happy, but you'd be exceeding abundantly happy. A lady said to me last week, said, "I can't figure you out." She said, "You don't do a thing to have fun except have fun. Everything you do is not supposed to be fun. And everything that's supposed to be fun, you don't do." But she said, "I'll declare, I believe you have more fun than I do." I said, "Lady, it's exceeding abundantly above all that you ever ask or think." See, they used to say, "It's good if you know the Word." It's exceeding abundantly better to know the Word. If you say, "Boy, to get your prayers answered, that's wonderful." It's exceeding abundantly more wonderful than you ever think. You young folks, to serve in the will of God and to do God's will all of your lives, they say it's the best place in all the world. It's more than that. It's exceeding abundantly the best place in the whole world to be. I got a sweet letter this week. One of our young men, graduate of high school. I think I'll just tell you, it was Jim Rossman who was chosen the outstanding student of the senior class. And I read it again last night. He said, "Brother Hiles, when Hammond Baptist High School first started, I didn't want to go. For the first 3 or 4 weeks, I didn't like it. Because, you see, I wanted to be a professional basketball player. And by the way, he could be if he worked at it. He could be." Well, I can recall one game, he made 3 points. But he could be. But he went on to write, but he said, "I soon found that basketball was just for a season, but that life was more than basketball." And he said, "I gave myself to full-time service for Christ." He said, "Brother House, thank you for Hammond Baptist Schools. Thank you for the school, and thank you for the love, and thank you for what you've tried to do to help us." And then he said, "Because of the school and the church and you and others, I've given my life to serve him full time." Oh, let me tell you, Wilt Chamberlain won't have near the fun and laugh that fellow's going to have. I mean, Bob Cousy is not as happy as that fellow's going to be. I don't know how happy that Oscar Robertson is, but I bet you. That's wrong to bet, so I'll wager he compared to Jack Hiles, I'm exceeding abundantly happier than he is. Why? Because the Lord says unto him, how do you get it? From him. From peace of mind? No. From psychology? No. Education? No. Him. It's not an it. To him. From money? No. From fame? No. Popularity? No. Pleasure? No. How do you get it? From him. He is the source of all happiness. He is the source of all joy. He is the source of all pleasure. He is the source of all satisfaction. When you come to him and say, "I'm giving everything I have to Jesus," the Bible says you ask him for something, he gives you exceeding abundantly above all that you ever ask or even think to ask. Let me just give you a little Greek lesson here. The reason I'm going to give you a little Greek lesson is because a little Greek lesson is all I'm qualified to give you. I took Greek in college, but it was Greek to me, and I had some problems with it. But there's a word he uses called perissos. P-E-R, we spell it P-E-R-I-S-S-O-S. Perissos. The word means out of measure. It's used in the Bible for a river that overflows. It's used for something, a container that overflows out of measure. The Lord sometimes says, "I'll bless you, perizos, out of measure." But there's an extension of that word called hooper perizos. Let me illustrate. I was in a phone booth at O'Hara Field. Suddenly realized I had to ask, I think, Ms. O'Brien something. And so I put a dime in, and she hears this so often. The operator says, "Collect call long distance from Jack Hiles. Do you accept the charges?" And it's getting to where the operator says, the collect call, and she says, yes, I will, operator. And so but that day I couldn't get anybody. I happened to call during the noon hour, and nobody answered. And so when I pushed down the return, the coin return thing, I hung up. The coin didn't come back. So a little deal, coin return, a little lever, and I pushed it down, and 4 dimes came back. Now that's what perizos means. In the Greek, it means 4 dimes instead of one. And 4 dimes came back. And all I asked was one. It said, coin return. And I got 4. I got 4 times as much. But there's another word called hooper perizos. It means exceedingly out of measure. Hooper means over. Way up over out of measure. Above out of measure. I was in a certain town out west, and I called in, and it couldn't get my call through. And I pushed the thing down, and the money didn't come back. So I pushed it again, didn't come back. So I did what you do. I hit the thing, shook it like that, and then I did. The microphone of the phone booth came way down, and I shook it, and guess what came out? $2.30 in dimes. $2.30. That's what the Lord says. The Lord says, if you give your life to me, and if you ask something, I'll exceeding abundantly give you more. He said, I'll give you many times. And finally, he adds the word hooper to it. I'll have it above, high, above, overflowing, exceeding abundantly. But there's a third word along the same line. It's hooper ek perizos. Hooper ek perizos. It's an extension. Perizos means overflowing. Hooper perizos means above overflowing. And the little Greek word preposition ek, as you know, means many things. From, out, with. But it means this. It means constantly flowing out, so high, keeps on flowing, never stops flowing, overruns the banks, floods everywhere, floods all around. I'll illustrate again. I was in Pennsylvania, Williamsport, early one morning. I put a dime in. And the thing wasn't working. The phone was just dead. And so I pushed down the corner turn. It didn't come back. I hit it! It didn't come back. Well, I hadn't eaten any breakfast, and I didn't have many dimes. And I said, I'm going to get that dime. It was bright and early. So I took that thing and shook it and got my foot up there and hit it. And here they came. Dimes came. I want you to know it just came. Fell on the floor, came out in the telephone booth. My hands overflowed with dimes, had nickels and quarters and dimes, and just kept on coming. And I didn't say it, but felt like saying, Lord, hold it a minute. I got to get some more containers. And I took the money over and gave it to the lady at the gift shop and asked her if she'd give it. I never keep anything like that. Dollars, yes, but not just dimes. And so I never keep it. But it just kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. By the way, you know, this morning, some of you here with critical spirits, and you don't understand this kind of Christianity, and you got a holier-than-thou kind of attitude, and a cynical, look-down-your-nose attitude, old-fashioned, fundamental Christians. Did you know not only would God give you things and pleasure exceedingly abundant, but he'd give you love, too, if you'd ask him for it. He'd give you an understanding spirit and love that just keep on flowing, keep on like an artesian well. Keep on flowing, keep on flowing, keep on flowing. That's what God wants you to have. A lot of folks think that God's up in heaven and he's a tightwad, and if you beg him and beg him and beg him and beg him and beg him, he'll give you a little bit of something just like that. Oh, God's a heavenly Father who made the flowers for us and made the peaches for us and made the strawberries for us and made the fish for us and made the stars for us and made the moon for us and put the sun in the sky for us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him the Lord and the angels. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. Everything that God has made, he's made for us. And God wants to give you exceeding abundantly above that all you ever think or ask. By the way, only 3 times is hooper ek perizos mentioned in the Bible. Only 3 times. This word of overflowing, this word of artesian well, this word of overflowing and keeping on overflowing and keeping on all the time, this extreme, ultimate of overflowing, abounding life and abounding joy and overflowing peace and overflowing satisfaction. It's only mentioned 3 times in all the Bible. I was amazed.
One time it's mentioned.
It has to do, this is interesting, with the pastor and his feeling for his people.
Let me read it to you. You need not turn to it, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, listen to this. Paul said, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That word exceedingly. Paul said, night and day, praying exceedingly. Paul said, I pray that you'd grow in grace. I pray that you'd be all you ought to be. And he said, I pray exceedingly. What do you mean? I pray that it overflows. He said, I just keep on praying. And the prayer, I just pray for you and pray for you and pray for you and pray for you. Paul said, I love you so much, it overflows. And I pray for you so much, it overflows. It gets outside the banks. The pastor toward his people. Listen to me. Dr. George W. Truett, when I was a young man, he was a preacher. I used to read his books, never heard him preach, except on the radio. But I've heard Dr. Truett say when I was a young man, he heard him pray many times, Lord, give me a shepherd's heart. Lord, give me a shepherd's heart. I didn't know what he meant. And I read his books, and he'd pray in his books, Lord, give me a shepherd's heart. He'd say to preachers as he preached, men, have a shepherd's heart. And I didn't know what he meant. I know what he means now. I know what he means. God, in His mercy, has given me, and this is the truth, He's given me an abundant, exceeding abundantly, overflowing the banks of burden and compassion and love for you as my people. I have a letter in my pocket this morning. I won't, by the way, one reason I'm reading this, you may not recognize it sometimes. You may not recognize the fact that I love you when I say, young man, listen while I preach. I say that because I love you. I want you to mount to something. I don't want you talking while I preach. I want you to become something. And I've got something to tell you from God, that God can give you exceeding abundantly above all that you ever ask or think, and you ought to know it. And I love you so much, I want you to sit still and listen to what I've got to say. Now, you may not understand that as being love. That's because you don't know this kind of love. Love that chastens and love that rebukes and love that's gracious and yet love that's harsh and love that's strong and yet love that's tender. Love that's compassionate and yet love that spanks. Yet love that helps and yet love sometimes that stings a little bit and smarts a little bit. But I have a letter. I won't read it to you. I got it this morning as I came in. It's one of the sweetest letters I ever received. I read it and I rejoiced and I cried. And here's what the little lady says. She said, my daughter graduated. Girls back here, you'll listen now. My daughter graduated from high school last week. And she said, Brother Hiles, you have exhibited to my daughter what is true love. She said, when Hammond Baptist High School started 3 years ago, she said it was a dream for me. By the way, this lady is not a member of our church. She said it was a dream for me. But she said, Brother Hiles, it's been more than I ever expected it would be for my daughter. And then she said she's taken a few courses in college already. And she said, the college is like the high school. It's more than we ever dreamed. And then she went on to a little something that I had done that she thought was Christ-like. And she said, you've exhibited love. You know what I said? I said, thank God somebody recognizes it. You don't know what it is sometimes to love and love and love. And love enough to you spank. And love enough to you say, sit still. And love enough to you discipline somebody or expel them from school a few days. And folks not even know what love's all about. You don't know what it is to love and love and give out and give it. Many of you do. But love and give out and give out and nobody understands it. You say, preacher, does anything ever hurt you? Nothing ever makes me mad much. I don't know. I don't recall the last time that I ever was offended angrily about something somebody said to me. But sometimes it's like putting a knife in your heart and twisting it. When you love some kid or some young person or some family, and you pray and you hope and you preach and you do the best you can to help them amount to something, and then hear somebody say, he ought to have more love. He doesn't have enough love. And I said this morning, thank God somebody recognizes it. Let me say that in three times in the Bible, hooper, ek, parasos, only three times in the Bible, this superlative is used overflowing. One of those three times is the way that a pastor ought to love his people. The second time, another time it's used, very interesting to me. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. It's the same word is used, this overflowing word. It says, think it's 5:13. I can't read because I got tears in my eyes and I can't find the scripture. Here it is, 5:13. That's 2 Thessalonians. And to esteem them very highly. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, that's your pastor, and admonish you, that's what I'm doing right now, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. The first time in the Bible, one of the three times that this word, hooper, ekperizos, overflowing, the love that I ought to have for you, and did you know another time, is the love that you ought to have for me. Isn't that amazing? That two of the three times this word is used has to do with the relationship of the pastor and the people. You're supposed to love Brother Fisk and Brother Sullivan and Brother Helton and Brother Bordway and Dr. Evans and Dr. Billings. These fellows are here in spirit this morning. You're supposed to love them and to love me. How? Hooper, ek, perizos. Keep on loving, overflowing, abounding. Why? Because we admonish you and try to make you live right and behave and so forth. I hate to say this, but I know some things you don't know. You know some things I don't know, too. But I know some things you don't know. I know some things, young people, about happiness you don't know. And if you'll listen to me, I can make you happy. I know some things, parents, about rearing children that not a single parent in this house knows. You hear what I said? I know something about children not a single person in this house knows. Not any parent. Why? Because I've been rearing children 27 years. I've reared hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Well, you say, no, you haven't. I'm talking about being a parent. Listen, there are at least 20 kids in this house right now that have no dads. And I'm their dad. A girl came by last night and said, Brother Hiles, could I go to a certain place? I said, no, I'm sorry. She said, okay, Dad, if you say I won't, don't go, I won't go. Another girl came by last night and said, Brother Hiles, could I do certain things? I said, no, you can't. The young lady came by my office this morning, knocked on the door. I've been her dad now for a number of years. Her mother's rearing her. I made an agreement that the kids couldn't have a date, couldn't go with anybody unless they checked with me. Made an agreement with the boy. The mother asked, Brother Hiles, could we have an agreement? The boy can't have a car unless he checks with you. Yes, I've reared a lot of kids. And I'm simply saying that you will be very, very wise to train and teach your children to respect and honor the opinions of the pastor and of those over him. Hooper, ek, perizos, overflowing, abundant. I thought about this. I was at Baylor Hospital in Dallas, Texas. It's been now about 16 years ago. I've been to hospitals through these years. Years ago, I had no help, had to make all the hospital visits. I've seen people weep. Oh, how many people have I seen? I walk down the hall, and I've seen people just sobbing. How many times have I stopped and said, I'm Brother Hiles. I'm pastor of certain church, wherever I was pastoring. Could I help you? And I've heard them say, Reverend, my husband has cancer, and they say he can't live 6 months. I just found out about it. I've heard so many people like that. But one day I was walking down the hall in Baylor Hospital in Dallas, and I saw a man, looked like he was about 65 years of age, maybe 70. His hair was white. He looked very important, and he was very well dressed, and he had his head up against the wall, and he was just sobbing. And I walked up and I said, have you heard some bad news? He turned around. He had a stethoscope hanging down from his neck down to his stomach. I said, oh, pardon me. I said, are you a doctor? He said, yes, I'm a doctor. And he kept on crying. And I said, Doc, what's wrong? And he said, I'm Pastor Hiles, pastor of Middle Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. He said, Reverend, 35 years I've been a doctor. I've learned some things. I know some things. And he said, in that room there lies a lady. She came to me. I knew how to cure her. I had the answer. I had the message. I knew how to cure her. I gave her prescriptions. I told her how to eat. I told her how to behave. I told her how to live. She could have gotten well. But she's dead. She didn't have to die. He said, he put his
head on my shoulder and cried like a little baby. He said, Reverend, he said, I know doctors are not supposed to have any heart, but he said, I love my patients and I knew how to cure her. She's got children at home and she's dead. And he said, I tried. She wouldn't listen. Reverend, what can I do to make them do what I say? I know some things they don't know.
And I said, Doctor, I understand. I too know some things. I bowed on my face in my study and cried myself till I couldn't have any tears anymore because some young people wouldn't listen to me. There's a young girl or two over here in this group this morning. You're lovely, and I love you. You don't think I do, but I do. And you're about to do something that's a terrible, tragic error, and I know it is. And I weep. I know some things you don't know. I know it's best to serve God. I know the happiest people in the world are the clean, dedicated, consecrated believers in Christ. I know that's true. I know nobody gets happy because they go with a hippie crowd. I know that. I got there last night. About an 8 or 9 page letter, handwritten. The little young lady said, Brother Howells, I hear you preach. She's probably here this morning. And she said, I hear you preach. And she said, I've been with the mod crowd. I've been with the hippie crowd. I know they don't have anything. They don't have anything. The devil is a liar and the father of liars. He's trying to deceive you and wreck your life and ruin your future. Don't listen to him. Listen to somebody who knows and who for years has seen young people come and go. Young lady, I beg you this morning, in God's name, take my advice. The Bible says we're supposed to, the pastor to his people, you're supposed to have that kind, and the people to the pastor. But then, quickly, the third time, hooper ek perizo is mentioned. It deals with God to us. First, me to you. I'm to love you with an overflowing, abounding kind of a love. Second, you to me. You're to obey me. I'm sorry, love me and respect me. And when I speak in the Word of God, do what it says. Overflowing. But then thank God. As I have it to you, you have it to me. The third time, God has it to all of us. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ever ask of me. I say it again. I've seen it for 28 years. I've seen it for 28 years. I've had 28 of the most blessed, no preacher in America with what little he had to offer. Dear Lord, I used to pray this prayer. Could I have a church someday with 300 members? We got 300 kids right now. Rode our bus this morning. Not Goldblatt stealing stuff. We got 300 folks in the restroom some Sundays. We got 300 in the nurseries. He'll do exceeding abundantly above all that you ever ask or think. Dear Lord, give me a chance to preach to great crowds. Lord, let me preach to 1,000 people someday. We have almost twice that much at prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Exceeding abundantly. Listen to me. This morning, are you not saved? You say, what is it, the Christian life? We try to explain to you. We tell you, it's wonderful. Sins forgiven. Home in heaven. Name written in the book of life. But it's, we can't tell you. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him. It's exceeding abundantly above all that you ever ask or think. That's how our God is. That's how our God is.